Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Thanks, Matt, for the job you do talking about the Supreme Court. When people said there's no hope, they've won. But there is hope. There is always hope. You never give up hope. The Supreme Court has a bunch of people on there, and I can name them. You know them. They're bought and paid for. Bought and paid for. And the worst to me is I'll have another beer, Brett. Brett Kavanaugh threatened the country when he said, if I'm not nominated, what goes around comes around. That's a guy that you want for a judge? We've got some clowns up there. And Americans are going to revolt. They're going to protest. They know that what this country's built on. And when that starts getting torn apart by this communist-loving far-right wing, I am just at wit's end. I can't believe the Democrats don't keep harping Putin would not be doing what he's doing if Trump hadn't started to tear down the NATO alliance, foreign alliance, the Green alliance. That's why this is going on. Putin saw an open door. So all this has got to be laid on those crime family. Fortunately, there's a few Republicans that still know what the ideals of America is. I was fortunate as a young child to meet Dwight Eisenhower. I've been around politicians. My dad was friends with Governor Knowles. I know what credibility is. Don't snow the snowman. Thanks, and have a great day, man.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That's a very good statement. And, you know, one thing that puzzles the living bejesus out of me is all through the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, Reagan, as well as all Democrats, were stood up to the Soviet Union. I mean, really, you know, if you said, what do the political parties think about communism and think about Russia? The one thing they would agree on is we got to stop them. We got to stop them. How did the Republican Party become a pro-Russian party? And, you know, they say the Russians aren't commies anymore. They're organized crime. They use the same tactics, the same brutal tactics. They murder people. They poison people. They arrest them. They torture them. They round them up. They protest. They lose their jobs. They throw them. This is exactly what the communists did. They use the same tactics, except that here they eliminate the middleman. You know, they eliminate any pretense of distributing it to anybody or distribution. And they just steal it flat out, which is what the commie leaders used to do also, but they were a little more circumspect about it. So, I mean, here's the deal. What do you do about that? And with Trump, Trump was servile to Putin. And I've said this before, Trump would invite the Russians into the White House and not a single American was there, not a single member of his cabinet. For one thing, I hope they swept the White House. Guy goes, hey, I'd like to use the restroom. Which way is it? Oh, down the hall. He walks down the hall. Who knows what he slips, you know, like he clips onto the baseboard. You know, what kind of listening device? This guy, Trump, at one point, he didn't even have his own interpreter. He used Putin's interpreter. He didn't have notes of any of his meetings. He'd tell the interpreter to rip up their notes. It is a crooked deal. It's a crooked deal. That's what's going on. It's a crooked deal. And when they get in, if they ever get in and take back the Senate and the House, which I hope they don't, do not, but things can be cyclical, they'll shut the government down. They will injure Biden even if it hurts the United States. They do not care about the United States. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, and the Republican Party has drifted into fascism. Drifted into authoritarianism. And you mentioned Dwight Eisenhower. I never had the pleasure of meeting him, but this is the general that won, you know, one of the key guys to win World War II, had a lot of credibility. And Warren Knowles did too, as governor of Wisconsin. He was great. One time I was walking along the street in the mid 70s, downtown Wisconsin, guy standing next to me, and I hadn't paid much attention to anything. And he looked very, very familiar. And I said, you look familiar. I think I know you. And he said, who do you think I am? And I said, you're the weatherman on Channel 4. And he laughed. He said, no, I'm Warren Knowles. I was the governor of Wisconsin. But I mean, the point is, the guy didn't have a big ego. It wasn't in your face all the time. You see what I mean? So those are the old days. Hey, Bill, Those are not the new days. That's not what's going on right now. That is not the Republican Party right now. This is amazing, but, you know, we were talking about Mark Esper. He was the Secretary of Defense under Trump from roughly August of 19, you know, for about 18 months, maybe a little less. Finally, he got out of there. Trump threw him out as, you know, I quit. No, you can't quit. I fire you type thing. Anyway, in this book, we talked about it earlier before a lot of the calls, where he said Trump was like a bullfrog jumping around from lily pad to lily pad saying, I want to pull all diplomats and military resources out of Africa. I want it all military out of South Korea, no more troops to Poland. And everybody had to go, oh, my God, and then just argue with the guy. Well, what happened was they asked Trump what he thought about the book. And here are some of Trump's responses. And then I'm going to go to the lines because you're on the lines. The first thing he said, quote, Esper was weak and ineffective, and I had to run the military, end quote. Trump was a draft dodger. He never ran the military. He never went in the military. He lied about having bone spurs. The next thing he said is, Esper was a stiff, desperate not to lose his job. Then he said, Esper would do anything I wanted. That's why I called him Yesper. And then he said, quote, Yesper was recommended to me by some very weak rhinos. And that's what Wesper turned out to be. I mean, Trump, look, this guy can't be permitted to get back in as president. All right, we're going to the line. CJ of Stoughton, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, CJ of Stoughton?
Morning, Matt. Yeah, we hate to go back to that secure world of living in with Donald Trump. No dictators attacking other countries. And gosh, fuel prices reached an all-time high. So if we can't criticize this guy, this terrible commander cut and run Hunter Biden administration bought and paid for by China. But we can look at him domestically, and that's why he's a failure everywhere you look. And that's why the distraction about this Supreme Court justice leak, this leak of a draft, your party makes this huge issue as a distraction from his failures domestically everywhere else, as people can't afford their homes, their cars, their fuel, their food, you name it. This guy's a disaster. And, you know, you guys want to focus on the previous president? Go ahead, because the red wave's coming, and 55-0 for candidates that he supported. So you can pretend that it's him the problem. His policies were amazing. We were having the greatest economy ever in our history. He didn't want out of NATO. He wanted countries to pay their fair share. So tell the whole truth, Matt, not just your part, not just your party's part, the whole truth. This guy's a domestic failure, not to mention Afghanistan, where we left thousands of allies behind.
Yeah, let me respond. Let me respond to this, because you raised a lot of issues. First of all, CJ, you got to get different material. I mean, I've heard this about Hunter Biden for a lot. Hunter Biden is has nothing to do with this administration. But let me talk about, we were not secure under Trump. What happened was North Korea kidnapped Otto Warmbier and tortured him. He was a University of Virginia student because Trump had called Kim of North Korea Little Rocket Man. In retaliation, he tortured a UVA student and sent his body back to his parents. Trump didn't even criticize him. Trump didn't do anything about it. Trump sucked up to Putin. Trump said that he might have to pull us out of NATO. It wasn't just getting them to pay more. He said he might have to pull us out of NATO. We were not more secure. It was because Trump in Afghanistan said, we're going to be out by May 1. I recognize the Taliban. I want to invite them to Camp David. Okay, then at least invite them to Vienna. Throw out the Afghan government, demoralize them, make them release 5,000 terrorists to kill Americans. And Biden comes in with that mess and he goes, no, we're not getting out by May 1. Finally, he gets out by, he said he's going to August or September 1. And you can't save a culture from itself. That's a fundamentalist Islamic culture. Islam The word Islam means submission, and the word jihad means struggle. And they take it to the nth degree. You cannot save them from that. All the women have to wear burqas now, can't even show anything except their eyes. You'll never change that unless you commit genocide and bomb them all, and that's not the way we are. On fuel prices, we are boycotting Russian oil, and so now more is Europe, and that is one of the consequences. The alternative is genocide. As far as leaks of this draft, you make it sound like that's okay. It's not okay that the Supreme Court is about to invade the right to privacy in this country that differentiates us from authoritarian cultures. That's not okay. These are all legitimate issues to debate. And the final thing I'll say, CJ, look, Biden's a wartime president. You know, you don't go after Franklin Roosevelt when he's fighting the Nazis. You don't go after somebody like Biden who's fighting Putin. Anyway, back to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling, Tom. What's on your mind?
You know, in regards to the Supreme Court, I think that you're seeing an evidence of what happens when you no longer have civics in the classroom and we forget what's in the Constitution. We don't have to pack the court in order to get the Supreme Court back to where it's supposed to be. The Constitution specifically states that Congress gets to decide how the courts look and what their makeup is. So if they pass a law saying that in order to be a judge, let's just say starting at the federal level, in order to be a judge, you need to be sitting on a bench for 10 years prior to being appointed to a federal level. And then in terms of a Supreme Court justice, all of those three picks that Trump had put in, they would right there be disqualified because they don't have anywhere near that experience. I think between the three of them, they might be able to put a year's worth on the judicial bench. I think Amy had maybe a year and a half when Trump appointed her, but the other two, they didn't have any experience. So then within having a minimum standard of qualification for a judge, as far as the current judges, you know, the Constitution says that a judge serves for a lifetime appointment. Well, there's something called a senior judge, and those senior judges, that's what happens when like a judge retires, they still draw the pay and the benefits of being a judge, but they just take the overflow of the other benches. For example, I believe that Sandra Day O'Connor, you know, when she retired, she was still sitting on the bench and ruling on Supreme
Court. We have to go to a break. You're raising some good points. I was a law clerk to a federal judge. I'm going to respond further to your excellent points. We get back from a break. Very good. Thank you for calling. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.